Hi, everybody. So we are going to be, as Steph mentioned, we're going to be doing some facilitation work together here. And this is about essential facilitation skills. So we're going to be brainstorming. And this, for the time being, you could set your notebooks down. We're going to be working on some paper together. And we're going to move into five groups. So it'll be two, and then if you guys want to join a group, it would be two groups. We'll have three. So if you could, if you just do a quick count off by five, that would be great. Thanks, Poppy.
Two.
So if in a moment we're going to connect with your partner or your trio, and we'll be doing some we're going to do a little carousel here. So we're going to use large pieces of paper and do some brainstorming on those pieces of paper. We'll have a few minutes at each 2 minutes actually at each spot, and then I'll let you know when it's time to shift, and we're going to shift spots to the next one. So let's get these papers
started.
I put the
paper back there. Did you already
put it
down?
No.
So the yellow screen. We might be thinking about how to support participants feeling safe in our groups or in our classes or in our spaces. And so the second group is going to be encouraging participation. And so on this one, we're going to be thinking about ways to support everybody's voices being heard in the group. And everyone will have a chance to do a little brainstorming on each of these topics. Mm-hmm. The third group is going to be managing group dynamics. We can go around the circle.
Okay,
right,
that's
okay.
Now we're three.
Okay. 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 We're next.
And so some things we might think about here is working with silence, working with emotions, working with long talkers. The fourth group over deep listening and reflection.
And the fifth group is going to be considerations for specific audiences. You just write specific audiences, that would be great. And so let's just take a moment to think about some of the specific groups that we might be working with. So many of us have worked with children and may continue to work with children. That might be a group if that's something that people are interested in continuing to work with. And Andrea, you do currently. So let's make sure children is one of those groups. What are some other groups that you're interested in doing some work with?
People in recovery.
Ah, great.
Should I write this down?
Yep. And then if you could just offer some space there, Kara, maybe a few lines down, recovery. And so after each one of these, we'll give us some area to write anything that's maybe pertinent to these particular groups. And certainly they may overlap.
Okay.
What else?
Caregivers.
Caregivers, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Elderly or seniors?
Seniors, yeah.
And maybe in that category, like pain, dealing with people who are in pain, but that doesn't necessarily mean seniors. It could be anybody.
Right, maybe separate or under seniors.
We'll do separate.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Pain.
People are in chronic pain.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Adolescents, young adults.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Those are two separate groups. Or,
yeah. You're welcome to differentiate when you get in there if you want, but. Here.
School teachers.
School teachers, mm-hmm. Educators. Mm-hmm. Great. If there are other pockets that are really important to you, please feel free to add them when you get to it.
Okay.
We'll start with this. We're each going to have a chance to, you'll all have a chance to be at each one. Yeah. So as you're visiting these different topics, again, just imagining yourself in a space of either teaching or bringing mindfulness in whatever way feels like it's resonant for you. So whether it's in a classroom setting or if you're out in engaging activities around, however it is that you're imagining, you might be bringing this material forward. And if you're struggling with that, you can just go to thinking about your practicum. And so what would be supportive for you in your practicum space? Okay, any questions?
How long are we gonna have each?
Like
spot?
2 minutes, it's gonna be kind of quick.
Yeah. And we're just going to leave these here and we're going to rotate around.
Yes. And if you're finding that it's too busy and you need a little bit more space, or maybe somebody right now wants to pick up and go over here, you're welcome to do that. We can make one of the stations a little further over. But you're going to be physically getting up and moving around. So maybe we'll go ahead and do that now. Oh, thank you, Sue.
Forrest, with this deep listening and reflection, are we looking at scenarios then, different scenarios in which we would be?
Sure, could be anything that is coming up for you in that idea. So thinking about, how would you support the people having an opportunity to engage in deep listening in the space that you're providing? And you can add if there's a specific scenario in mind, you're welcome to just add it in bullets. We'll look back at these in a bit. So I'm wondering if. Emma and Carolyn, if you guys want to bring your over here to give you a little bit more space. Does this feel too crowded?
Can you check in the temperature? It's a little cold. Can we check in? Temperature check. How's everybody? Is it cold in here?
Yes.
No.
Who says cold? Who's cold?
Well, I'm not cold now. I'm going to turn on.
Okay. Sue's cold.
I have a jacket. So
well,
okay.
I can. Okay.
Maybe right here. You can do it. I just want to make sure.
It is.
Okay. Oh, is there one?
Go ahead.
So great job getting some ideas going. We're going to take a couple of moments here to kind of go through these lists a little bit. And why don't you just notice what you're noticing. Poppy, if you want to grab a cushion, hang there for a second. See if you're noticing any themes that you notice popping up, any ideas that might strike you as little ahas, maybe something you hadn't thought of before. So I'm going to ask one person to read out from each group, if you don't mind. Would one of you guys mind reading? And you can share. Here.
So just read everything that's on this.
Yeah,
paper.
If you could read your header and then what's on the paper, and I'm gonna,
okay.
I'm going to just recording for friends who aren't here, so I'm just gonna move this a little closer to you.
Okay. So the heading is deep listening and reflection. Creating space to be comfortable with silence. You can't listen deeply if you are not quiet. Asking wondering questions invites reflection for the person reflecting and not giving answers. Modeling and explaining pause. Journaling regarding reflection. Eye contact, turn and talk duo. Bringing attention to how it feels when listening deeply and being listened to. Body language, noticing busy mind, and to add to that, while listening, practice mindful listening, not planning. Explicitly teaching and practicing mindful listening and talking. Check-in questions for reflection. Optional sharing around a prompt or topic.
Great. Anything standing out for anybody here? Or anything you felt like you needed to elaborate on or ask about? Good. Okay, we're gonna keep rolling around the circle. Would one of you guys mind reading?
Sure. So this was for working with specific audiences. So for children, people said using like kid-friendly wording, simple and shorter time frames, hands-on activities, fun, and multiple activities. And then folks in recovery, being aware of trauma, non-judgmental listening and no crosstalk, self-compassion and forgiveness. For caregivers, providing a supportive environment and then offering like self-care and respite practices. Seniors, an awareness of mobility issues, keeping things simple and visuals as reminders. Pain management, it's kind of in a similar vein, offering encouragement, and also like focusing on anchors to take attention away from pain, is what someone said. And then considering pain and comfort when structuring activities, maybe asking about specific abilities and limitations like prior to the course. And offering options for body positions and practice. For adolescents, people said assuring confidentiality as long as it's safe. For educators, we said encouraging self-care. Folks with autism, awareness of sensory needs. Vets, presenter has connected experience, I think it says. Grief groups and LGBTQ plus as well. That doesn't have ideas. But maybe like an awareness of pronouns could be added there.
I think under children, also there was ELL and movement as considerations.
Thank you.
Sorry, there was what?
ELL, English language learners, is to be aware in your group, non-native speakers.
Can I add something in about pronouns?
Sure.
Something that David Trey Levin brought into his training. Something David Trey Levin brought into his training about pronouns specifically. You know, there's kind of like a movement towards asking everybody what their pronouns are, but he said some people are not really, like they're not sure because they're questioning where they are, and so sometimes asking people to share that is actually challenging, so it's hard to know what to do, like which way to go. And I remember having conversations about this, like we were like, oh, we have to put our pronouns on our thing, but we were like, we should tell everybody to put their pronouns on their Zoom name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what I'm doing. I'm like, that's the Zoom name. And then we were like, oh, well, maybe people aren't ready to do, somebody's not ready to do that, then that can be off-putting. So anyhow, a consideration, not a solution exactly, but just to consider.
Or if anyone would like to share their pronouns as part of their introduction, that's, you know.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Like give it an
feel
option.
Free.
Right.
And you can model the,
right.
the facilitator.
I feel like sometimes too, like just not speaking in like super binary terms,
mm-hmm.
like referring to someone like or group as like ladies or
mm-hmm.
Boys
and girls.
Yeah,
boys
and
girls.
Girls. Just like avoiding super binary.
Yeah.
Siblings instead of brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Students, participants, right? Just more of a yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And similarly, partner and potentially instead of specifically naming the relationship as spousal or not.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
All right. Encouraging participation, using names, remembering little things about people, explicit invitations to share, break into smaller groups, allow for spaciousness, wait 7 seconds, check-ins and check-outs, eye contact, a welcoming attitude, create a sense of belonging and feeling wanted, creating a comfortable environment, create safe feeling environment, making sure everyone feels heard, awareness of comfort levels of all, step up, step back practice, creating container, emphasizing community, begin with simple exercise that gives everyone a chance to say something, chocolate reward, and games to create joy.
Mm. Nice.
Something that really stands out for me, in addition to the fact that you guys model the joy and games so well, especially Stephanie, who leads that, but it's that word that so create a sense of belonging and being wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's so much
mm-hmm.
different from being welcomed.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, we would really
mm-hmm.
miss you, Poppy,
mm-hmm.
if you stepped out of this group.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And that's where the word appreciation comes in for me.
Mm-hmm.
I just really appreciate
mm-hmm.
something, somebody, their contribution.
If I may, that I wrote that, and I went to a fundraiser last night for autism awareness,
mm-hmm.
and that was a message that I really took away.
Mm-hmm.
It was really, no matter what group we're lucky enough to be with, to hopefully make everyone feel wanted and a sense of belonging.
Mm-hmm.
That was a really beautiful takeaway from that.
Mm-hmm.
It was Autism Goes to College, and it was a fundraiser for the Grateful Mug and for Capabilities, and there was an amazing panel. I wish everybody had been there. It was really so great, but yeah, so
mm-hmm.
I'm so glad that resonated. Yeah, I mean, we all want to feel like we belong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. One way to do that is to call everybody radiant beacons of light. Andrea named our group, our peer group that.
Oh.
We really have owned it.
And I think maybe added to just what you're saying, you know, speaking aloud the appreciation
mm-hmm.
for somebody for doing something, or not in a like, and I'm thankful for you, and I'm thankful for you, and I'm thankful,
yeah.
but like a genuine, you know. Like, I really appreciate Emma's baked goods so much.
So where
they
are
bring
they?
Me so much joy. No pressure. Florist made wonderful baked goods today.
So are you saying, like, be specific?
Yeah, like, be specific
mm-hmm.
about what, you know, what they bring to the space. Because
mm-hmm.
everyone has a gift to offer.
I love cherry pie. I just want to say
be
specific about creating safety and trust, agreements, common ground, options for practice, options to pass, making space comfortable and safe, checking in with people's comfort level, and modeling vulnerability, speaking from your own heart. Avoiding evaluative feedback, such as good job. Using ING, encourage shared experience as an invitation. Asking permission, making sure everyone feels heard and validated. Practice mindful listening. What we were just talking about, thank you for sharing. Ensuring confidentiality, appreciating everyone's contributions. Opportunity for one-on-one rather than group sharings. Speak with facilitator in private. Non-judgment. Allow space and time for people to settle as individuals. Smile. Create a container of belonging.
Thanks, Jim.
There's some continuity among these.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure.
Nancy and Julia.
So managing group dynamics, overly enthusiastic participant taking over, group within group, differing view, kind and compassionate listening and speaking, reminding people of kind and compassionate listening and speaking, screening participants if indicated. People who can't follow directions, distracted, giving time parameters, structured groups, talking, sharing in different groups, step up, step back norm, step up, step back norm, in awkward moments, check for needs, setting agreements, reviewing regularly and explicitly, referencing and practicing in moments. Mixing up groups in order to work with a variety of people. Providing a schedule. Stressing respect within group agreements.
Anything there that anyone wants to speak to or noticing? So I'm going to compile these, because it's a lot of ideas that we have. And I will compile these and then offer them back out to everyone so that you have these as reference. You know, things that we've brainstormed together that are really important in our in working with groups. And maybe noticing areas that are areas that you feel proficient in, and maybe some other areas that you feel like maybe a growing edge for you. Why don't we take a quick run around the room? Jenny, did you have a question?
No, go ahead.
So I was just going to ask to do a quick circle with just a note. If there's anything coming up for you, like, here, this is my growing edge, or this is an area I'm proficient in. And you could just pick one.
Like of these topics?
Of these topics, or something else that that feels right for you. But we're thinking about facilitation skills and areas, or areas that you have a lot of ideas around. Skills that you carry or ones that you might want to be working on while you're holding the group. Sasha, you got
one? Timing and managing the group in within the frame of time when you have someone who maybe is going to be more talkative as
mm-hmm.
we don't, you know. That's one of the things that sometimes I struggle. Mm-hmm. Trying to find my ways.
Yeah. Poppy, how about you?
Really in that person that loves to talk is a challenge, and being mindful and respectful to them. And I think too, I don't know why, but I think David Trelo has just kind of created this unsettled feeling that I need to handle someone who's trauma sensitive, has been traumatized with kid gloves, and I'm still working with that, and I'm looking at doing my practicum with people in recovery, and that makes me a little nervous, but I kind of want to walk into it so I can learn. And I think that's probably my best teacher, is just to be open to it and to be open to whatever comes my way and just be mindful and honest and open. So it's a fine line for me. I'm still working on that, yeah.
Yeah, Poppy, I think what you're saying really is, and I know that can bring up stuff, right, when we're doing that trauma-sensitive work, it can be a little bit like, ooh.
Mm.
And I think, I was reading something of his this morning that I will find and I will share with you all tomorrow, because he kind of spoke to this idea, but from a little bit of a step back. And it was really just this a general acknowledgement. It exists in the room. We're asking people to focus on particular areas of their experience. And sometimes when we have trauma, we tend to hyper-focus on those things that are uncomfortable for us. And so just for us as facilitators, being aware of a person's maybe tendency to do that, a human tendency to do that, focus on these things that are uncomfortable for us or challenging for us, that can kind of get us caught, and seeing if we can support kind of normalizing these experiences. And Julia, you had an example here, working with people with pain, like bringing us back to anchors. Sometimes that is a way to support people in coming out of hyper-focusing on one particular thing, right? It's not the only way to do that in that scenario I'm describing, but one of those ways. So I just want to acknowledge that I think is a common experience for many people, I would say.
Yes.
It certainly was for me,
yeah,
too, as I'm,
yeah,
as I'm going into that work and having that.
Yeah, it's interesting. Thank you for that perspective. And I was talking to Song about this morning, and just reminding, if I am in a group of people that I know that have probably experienced, and that could be anyone, anywhere,
mm-hmm,
to just say, these are tools,
mm-hmm,
you know, this is for you to practice if you feel comfortable doing it. It's something that you could use if you want to. It's your choice. And just being aware of how, just being in tune with the people that are in the room and just noticing if there's any, you know, putting off or needing to leave the room or whatever. Just being mindful of that too. Yeah. So it's a little jacket I'm getting comfortable wearing. I'm starting to practice thinking more about it as I get closer to that happening. Yeah. So thanks for that insight.
How about just a couple more? Anybody, something standing out for somebody?
Mine too would be the like over enthusiastic participant, no matter what age, who wants a lot of my attention or wants to share, and then even when it's like, oh, now we're gonna go back into silence, but like, did you see that tree over there? So sometimes to get folks to kind of like allow room for everybody, sometimes a challenge. Yeah, I need some more tools in my toolbox for that one. Yeah, that would be helpful.
And just as a variant on that, what's coming up for me is balancing between creating the group community and offering to the group, and then honing in on an individual, and then having whatever the response be something that's useful for the group as well,
mm-hmm,
that or being just aware of the group at the same time.
I was thinking about crosstalk as a real challenge,
mm-hmm,
because you want to validate the person speaking, but when somebody commits and says, well, that happened to me too,
mm-hmm,
and then that really deflates. So you set parameters when you begin, but people don't always follow them.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to quickly say, thank you for your comments, and move on quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But that is a challenge. Mm-hmm. It's always an ouch when I feel that,
mm-hmm,
happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, for me, I think the talking about pronouns, because nearly every week I send, with my job, I have to send an email with my availability for my physio. And the people that are in the office are a group of women, so I always go, okay, ladies, here's my comms, and it's more of an endearing thing, I thought. But maybe not, maybe, I don't know, so, okay, it's kind of a, I don't know, so I have to think about that one.
And it might be in a group.
Yeah.
You know, it's just to know your audience.
Yeah,
and think
I was thinking
and
that too. Like if it was
never to not say that ever.
Well, and
right.
I've known these people for quite a while,
mm-hmm.
so maybe if it was a new group and
mm-hmm.
it was a different type of group, then I would not, you know, say that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I'll even say to them, okay, guys and gals, and it's all women.
People.
To that I was, you know, it gave me a lot of food for thought looking at the specific audiences that, you know, I noticed that there's certainly certain groups that are, you know, more, that I have more experience with or that would be in my comfort zone, and then others that wouldn't so much. And, like, I was thinking, like, with the veteran example about, you know, like, having some, like, personal connection to it and all, and I was, you know, kind of thinking, like, since I'm not a veteran myself, I don't think that I would like sign up for that to be the group that I'm leading, but that said, there could be veterans in a group that I'm leading,
right.
or people from a lot of these different areas. And then I guess that just gave me food for thought to be aware of that when it's not something that I really would have thought of necessarily about, you know, that they're bringing some of that, they could be bringing some of that experience to the table, and that I just need to be aware of it and also to know, I guess maybe what my comfort zone is with that topic, and just to be aware.
Mm-hmm. Anything for anybody here?
What did you say?
Anything for any of you here?
Yeah, I think like managing group dynamics feels like an edge for me. I feel like even just having like more of a grasp on like verbiage or like semantics just around like how to communicate. Yeah, like if something needs to shift or something comes up for someone that kind of feels like it's digressing a little bit from like the collective experience in that moment, like how to make that person feel honored and heard, but also not like indulging in something that's not gonna like even really serve them or the moment, you know? And I feel like that's something that I like just don't know how to, like in myself in that moment, I feel like a lot of doubt, and then I feel like I don't have a lot of confidence, you know,
mm-hmm.
to like navigate that, like in the group, this group facilitation work, and also my jobs, but that's another conversation. But I feel like I want to bring these skills like to my jobs, you know, and the people that I'm working with. And I would just love to feel like more confident, because I think sometimes my lack of confidence just makes it so that I'm not, I don't know, taking a chance, because like there's always a chance that what you say or how you handle a situation might not be the like the best way, you know, but like finding a way. And I feel like, yeah, I don't know, I just like want like a list of like how to say things. So even if I don't know what to do, at least I know what to say. And then I feel like that would help me like navigate the moment, you know, or until it became more natural, I guess. Yeah, so it's like giving myself structure in terms of how I communicate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Could always just ask ChatGPT in a moment.
What did you say? I didn't hear what you said.
I said you can always ask ChatGPT in the moment.
I've heard they're not that reliable.
That's what I'm telling
you.
So,
I just this other thought that's like, oh, like a light bulb. So, before going in to teach, I'm going to make a note to myself, take 5 minutes to do some light bulb practice and settle myself so that I enter that space
in hopefully some presence of mind and not having just rushed off the road.
That's a great point.
Yeah, step and arrive.
Yeah, step and arrive. Mm-hmm. Step and arrive. Yeah, yeah. Doing that
private.
And I think that what I have been learning also is that it really, like so many other things in life, it's just practice. You know, the more you do it, the more conversations you're having with people in all these other environments too, right? These other facets of work that we have or relationships we have. This is where we're practicing. And every time you are in a group setting, you're just honing that. You're honing it, you're honing it, and you're going to mess up, and you're going to do great, and you're going to have another great one, and you're going to mess up, and you're going to have another great one, and you're just going to keep learning, right? Mm-hmm. Something I might just throw out there as a thought is to consider maybe an accountability buddy, if that might be helpful, you know, as we transition on after this training. If you have a, you know, maybe you have an area that you want to be working on or you want to bring some attention to, so maybe you can work with another person and just share your intention about working on a particular edge and, you know, check in, see how it goes, and then pick another one in 3 months or something, or, you know, the next time you have an opportunity to be teaching, maybe you're going to focus on something else.
And along those lines, like, if you're teaching on your own, sometimes it can feel isolated and kind of lonely and like, what am I doing here? But having colleagues to be able to like bounce things off of is so critical. Mm-hmm. I mean, Forrest, you and I are like constantly doing that. And what do you think about this? What do you think about this? Mm-hmm. How should I handle this situation? Or this came up and what do you think? You know, it's like we can help. It's nice to process with someone and get feedback. So I think, you know, like if you're in a group and you have somebody who just keeps talking and you like can't, you know, maybe reach out to somebody in here and be like, what should I do with this person? Mm-hmm. Like, how do I handle it? Mm-hmm. This is what I'm thinking. You know, I don't know.
Bob Jensen just came to mind. This was an instructor that most of us worked with. And he used to, before he would go into a classroom, sit in his truck. Mm. And if he had like insecurities or self-doubt or whatever, he'd put it on a post-it note, just throw it on the floor of the truck. I don't need that. Self-doubt, insecurities, I don't need that. I'm going to leave that all behind, and then I'm going to go into the classroom.
Oh,
so it was just a physical thing to just let it go, left it behind, and I'm going to walk into the classroom confident and whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
the ride home must
have
been really hard for him.
Waiting for him.
Thanks, everyone. We're going to be shifting now into a break for dinner.